the Book of Revelation, and so much more with L.A. Marzulli, and we're taking your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, L.A. Marzulli with us. L.A., the Vatican has a dedicated staff of priests to conduct exorcisms. What does that tell you about evil?
Well, I mean, I've actually experienced some of it myself with different people, and it can be very troubling. that's probably an understatement. Let me just tell you first of all that there was a woman that came into this one particular church I was going to at the time. I was a worship leader there. This is a while back, 10, 12 years ago. And she drew a lot of attention to herself, and she was definitely possessed. I mean, there's no doubt about it. She had that wild look in the eye, that the crazy smile, and she just attracted all this attention to herself. And I remember going up to her with two other people to pray over her. And this is before I really understood what possession was. Now, she wasn't, you know, totally, completely, utterly possessed like something we would see in The Exorcist. But there was definitely something on her and in her, no doubt about it. And what I learned from that encounter was, as I got close to her, all of a sudden, it was very difficult to think at all, to remember even my own name. And I'm not making this up. I mean, the cloud of confusion that hit me was unlike anything I've ever experienced. And I remember this one woman that was with me began to pray, and the stuff that came out of her mouth, she just went, "Oh my gosh." And we, in other words, we were soundly defeated. There's a couple of reasons for that. At that time, I didn't know how to put on the armor of God, number one. Number two, we did not prep ourselves spiritually for the encounter. And that you just can't do this stuff. So when you talk about the Vatican training certain priests to do this, the Vatican, the Catholics have a particular rite in which they use the rite of exorcism. Evangelicals are different than that. We don't necessarily believe in the rite of the Catholic Church of exorcism. We believe in the authority of a believer to be able to just to do that. But in other words, for me to go do that, I have to prep myself for that. I have to put on the armor. I have to pray, maybe sometimes even fast and pray, depending on what I'm coming up against. And I've experienced this, and it can be hair-raising, to say the least.
The little boy who was in that the exorcism movie was based on and the book has still got to be alive somewhere. He's got to be, what, 60, 70 years old by now?
Sure.
I wonder who he is.
Well, it's great that they kept it anonymous and switched the genders. I mean, that was beneficial to the family. No one wants to be.
Right.
I'll tell you another story. We had a prayer meeting on Saturday morning. And there was an evangelist who came through. And this all might sound strange to people who, you know, have never been in these type of situations. But it was just a men's group. We got together. We had some food. This guy spoke. And at the end of the speaking, we got together and just prayed. And nothing, you know, it's like, nothing like that. I mean, we just were together. We were praying. And we were all in a line. And this guy went down the line. And I'll never forget it. There was a man who was addicted to pornography. And no one knew about it. And it was like there was a stronghold there. And the moment this guy got to him, and I watched this, George, in my own eyes, this guy was thrown up and backwards violently to the floor. Violently, because the demon that was in him was in control. And I watched the deliverance happen right in front of my eyes, where the guy, you know, was convulsing on. And this was not like, you know, there wasn't like the TV cameras. There was like maybe 20 of us in the room. So it was like a very sort of a semi-private event, and he didn't say anything. He just stood in front of this guy and began to pray over him, and he did like a backflip without, you know, just thrown violently up and backwards, landed on the floor, began to convulse, and this guy just immediately cast it out. And later on, you know, he confessed to us that he was addicted to pornography. So, I mean, the man was delivered of this demonic entity, because, you know, but this is what people don't get. There are open doors, and this is why I write about stuff like Harry Potter, Ouija boards, using pharmakia, drugs, whatever. All these are open doors, and they can allow. They don't always allow, but they can act as doorways for the demonic to come into a person's life.
That's right.
And that will wreak havoc, absolute havoc.
Let's go to our phones. Let's go east to Brett driving in Pennsylvania to get us started. Hi, Brett. Good morning.
Hey, George. How are you?
Great. Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Hey, good to be here. So I just wanted to say real quick to ILA that the rapture, so I'm not sure if you're too keen on this bifurcation of timelines that's happening. So on one side where we go with our higher selves, there will be no rapture. I just also like to say that Jesus Christ is alive and well, although he is not a Christian. And I'll just leave you with that. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, what do you think of that, L.A.?
Yeah, well, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And,
yes, sir.
There you go.
Yes, indeed. Now, back to the rapture for just a moment. Physically, what's supposed to happen?
There's two things. The dead that are buried will rise. In other words, the dead that are in Christ, that are born again and spirit-filled, will be translated from the grave.
What if they've been cremated?
Doesn't matter. There's still, and I've thought about this. There is DNA floating around everywhere. And this is where it gets, George, I get it. When I'm, you know, people, some guy at the break wrote me an email, L.A., you're an imbecile. It's just like, you know, what are you doing with this? You can't win, right? You got to laugh it off. And I realize what I'm talking about is absolutely fantastic. It is beyond anything supernatural we can possibly, I mean, it's beyond anything science fiction. It's just wacky, wacky stuff. But we serve a God who created the universe, who spoke into everything that we see, spoke into existence. When Jesus was here, and this is why I keep going back to the Gospels, everybody got healed. People, Lazarus was raised from the dead. Water was turned, you know, into wine. Lepers were healed. People were raised from the dead. I mean, all sorts of stuff happened. So we showed mastery over the physical, over the physical world, over the supernatural world, over the elements, over the natural world. I mean, he showed mastery over all of it. And so, okay, so if someone, let's say there's a hair left or just some skin molecules someplace, then that's all he needs because the DNA is in there. The DNA is in there. And we even know, I mean, like just our little scientists going, oh, we got some, you know, dino DNA. Maybe we can, you know, create T-Rex again.
That's right. Jurassic Park all over again.
Exactly.
Let's go to our international line. Johan is with us in Switzerland. Hello, Johan. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. I'd like to bring some light to the subject
here. Sure.
In relativity to the Merovingian prophecies and Jupiter coming through the legs of the Virgin. And so the Merovingians are the offspring of the Judaic line of Israel, and they are the line of the scepter. And the Merovingians went up into Switzerland, into the mountains of Switzerland, and they started what is called Swabia. And I was thinking that if you could get Tracy Twyman on, you could kind of put that together so that the Merovingian king would be coming forth on September 23rd, and the rapture would be the fact that the king was back on earth again.
All right, L.A., well, I'm not familiar with this grouping.
Well, the whole Merovingian line supposedly comes from Mary Magdalene having a child through Jesus. That becomes a Merovingian line.
I see.
And
okay.
That is the nexus of the Dan Brown novel and, you know, that whole deal.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And that is that a possibility that happened?
Well, in my opinion, it's an absolute no-no. There's no way that happened. And what's interesting is we hear about the Merovingian line, and this is constantly, you know, well, not constantly, but it's brought up again and again and again, but there's really no evidence of it. There's some very interesting dynamics with Jesus.
Where did they get the name Merovingian, or what does that mean?
I don't know, George.
Okay.
I don't know.
Do we know what nationality that is?
Or? Well, allegedly they were in France, And
is it Hebrew?
No, it's not Hebrew. I can Google it and find out where it's from, but it's definitely not Hebrew. But it's an area they landed in France supposedly, and the offspring became the Merovingian line, the Holy Grail. All right.
Sounds like a tribe, doesn't it?
Well, it sort of does, doesn't it?
Let's go to Tabitha, Riverside, California. Hi, Tabitha. Go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
I wanted to ask L.A. about 2 Thessalonians 2. If he's familiar with it, well, I'm sure he is, the scripture about the restrainer, when the restrainer is holding back mm-hmm. the full force of the lawless one, and when he is removed, I guess it's kind of saying, someone's going to break loose, if you know about that. And one other thing, in the original Hebrew, Rabbi Kahn, he says that it describes the Antichrist as being of an unnatural source, like a AI or alien, or, you know, what's your opinion on that? And did anybody ever replace Dr. Lear and his work when he was taking out those metal things?
No, nobody has done that yet.
We're planting.
Yeah, nobody has done that yet. But you can react to some of that, L.A.?
Yeah, let me talk about the Dr. Lear thing first and I'll work backwards. But the bottom line is we were contacted by Dr. Lear's daughter, and I'm still trying to get a hold of her. And Richard Shaw and I are very interested in sort of taking up his mantle and trying to move things forward. There's one thing we wanted to do was to try to locate the people that took the implants out and see how they were doing. In other words, a follow-up. That's never been done. Then going into the restrainer, who and what is a restrainer? There are different theological viewpoints on that. Some people, and I think this is the prevailing view, believe that the restrainer is the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, which dwells in each believer. So as that restrainer is moved from 2 Thessalonians, then that allows what I would call the coming great deception. All hell breaks loose. Once the restrainer is taken out of the way, then the dragon has full access to do whatever he's going to do. And that's an unprecedented time. And again, that begins the time, or that's right around the time of Jacob's trouble, that we're talking the tribulation, which is unlike any other period in human history. What was the third thing she said, or actually the first thing that she said? I don't remember. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I got two anyway.
Two out of three is not bad. Let's go to Roy in Orlando, Florida. Welcome to the program, Roy. Go ahead.
Yes. Are you aware of the book by Dr. Ernest L. Martin called The Star That Astonished the World? It talks about Revelation 12 in quite detail.
Are you talking about the Bethlehem star?
Yeah. But it talks about Revelation 12 and how it pinpoints the date and exact time to an hour and a half of the birth of Jesus on September 11, 3 BC.
Yeah, I've looked at that. I find that absolutely fascinating. We also sell a DVD on our website that talks about that called The Bethlehem Star. So I think it's fascinating. And again, this guy did it, going back and looking at where all the dates come in. And I think it's absolutely fascinating. And that's why the Revelation 12 star, to me, points back to the birth of Messiah. It's talking about the birth of Messiah. So I don't think it has anything to do with the rapture.
When you look back, L.A., at all these biblical prophecies, revelations, what does that tell you about this planet, this universe?
Well, it tells me that there's an entity that's outside space and time that calls out the future and does so with great specificity and does it through 66 authors in 40 books, which is absolutely incredible. So it's absolutely amazing. Or I'm sorry, 66 books, 40 authors. So it's incredible. Something is happening. And, you can say, well, there's other books of prophecy, but okay, so where are they? We've got Nostradamus, but Nostradamus isn't 100% accurate. We've had this discussion many times before, but the biblical prophetic narrative is 100% accurate 100% of the time, which sets it apart from any other tome on this planet. And the fact that it spans thousands of years, and as Chuck Missler would say, it's an integrated message system, because it is. It's an integrated message system. And the prophecies that are there are called out with such great specificity sometimes, it's just mind-boggling. You look at the Psalm 83 war that my friend Bill Salas has promulgated. You look at the coming Ezekiel 38 war with a group of nations, and Russia and Iran are listed. I mean, they're right there. There's a list of nations which talk about going up against a land of unwalled villages, and I've talked about this on Coast to Coast before. Israel is a land of unwalled villages, yeah. And when this prophecy was penned, there was no such thing as a land of unwalled villages. It didn't exist.
So, what about the possibility of the battle with angelic forces? You've talked about that.
Well, I mean, that's a very troubling scenario, because a couple of things. We don't know how they fight. We don't know what weapons they use to fight. But we know, and I'll read it again from that scripture, which is incredible. There was a war of heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. The dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not. I call it the great eviction notice. It's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but that's what it is. But it doesn't tell us how they fight. It doesn't tell us what their weapons are. It doesn't tell us the numbers. Is it millions? Is it thousands? We don't know. And this is what drives me nuts about the guidebook of the supernatural, i.e. the Bible, because, yeah, we get this information, but sometimes we don't get the specificity that I would really like. We're not called, you know, we're not told specifically, well, how are these angelic entities fighting? Is it hand-to-hand combat? Do they have flaming swords? I mean, we just don't know. And so that's why I keep going back to the idea of where are we and what is this really? Because nobody knows, George. Nobody knows, you know, what is consciousness? What is language? Where did that come from? What is memory? And where is memory stored? And how is it that if I say high school prom, boom, everybody calls up a picture? How does that work? And does so instantaneously. We're not groping for the picture. It's right there. It's right there. How does that work? And I find that absolutely incredible.
Mary in New Jersey. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hello. Don't let me get away, because I want to say, like, down through the centuries, there's one thing that everybody has wrong when it concerns creation.
And what is that?
But all right, but the snake and the dragon, if you read the Bible step by step, everything was created good, including that snake and that dragon. Okay, there's a war in heaven, and Michael's fighting. They join in. The animals join in. You ever see a dog would protect you or whatever? They join in. Now they're possessed. They got possessed by joining in. They somehow swallowed the demons or whatever. I don't know what. But that woman that's clothed in the sun with the moon, that is the earth. In the beginning, that is Adam. It never rained. The earth is weeping. If you read Genesis, because it never rained, there was a mist coming up. She's crying. And what I'm witnessing is that she actually is talking. She can talk to God. It's an earth, but he can talk to anything and everything because he created it. And she's very upset because of the fact that they're there now in the garden, the snake and the dragon and whatever. And you cannot kill something that's possessed. I don't know what you do with a human, but you don't kill them because they're possessed. And apparently you don't kill the snake and the dragon because they're possessed, and they keep popping up. But it goes on and on and on. I could tell you more, but you're not going to have the time.
Okay, we're out of time, as a matter of fact, right now. But we're going to come back and take final phone calls with L.A. Marzulli as we talk about an ominous date of September 23rd. Hey, our luncheon series starts again, so join me in the Los Angeles area Tuesday, September 26th. Make sure you circle that date, Tuesday, September 26th. Our special guest at the lunch will be dream expert and paranormal expert Rosemary Ellen Guiley. This is what you need to do. Send your email with your name and phone number to lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. Those of you, the many of you who have been to these luncheons, you get it already. But if you're brand new and want to come out, it's in the Los Angeles area. A lot of people just fly up from everywhere. Rosemary Ellen Guiley and I will be there, and producer Tom Danheiser as well. Tuesday, September 26th, send an email to lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. And welcome back. L.A. Marzulli with us. L.A., give us your websites, if you would.
Sure, thewatchmanchronicles.com. That's the our new series, thewatchmanchronicles.com. We've got two films. One is called UFOs Are Real, in their own words. The other one is on Fatima, which is not, it's being duplicated. It's not quite released yet, and I'll be talking about that more with you in the up-and-coming weeks. The other one is lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net.
Fatima, we're going to have a great show with that, huh?
Yeah, I hope so. Absolutely.
Was it a UFO or not that came down? We'll talk about that. Let's go back to the phones in our final segment here with L.A. Marzulli as we talk about September 23rd, where some people think something very ominous could happen. Are there some people, by the way, L.A., excited about that date?
Well, yeah. I mean, the people that are holding of a date that are believing that we're going to get raptured are extremely excited about that. And that's what, I just trying to just say, look, we need to take a step back and plan for the September 24th.
I don't want to get raptured yet. Do you? Would you get raptured right now? Do you feel like it's time for you?
You know, George, I live in a tension of longing to see him, longing to leave the craziness of this planet, and yet the other side is, how do I make a difference why I'm here? And we make a difference with the YouTube videos that we put out, the books, the DVDs. We get a lot of feedback from people, most of it really positive, really good. So I know we're impacting people's lives, and that's why we do what we do.
We go now to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello there, sir.
Hello there, George in L.A. Boy, y'all are something else. Well, I can tell it from George. I'm the God, Guns, and Gold man, the Bible, Bullets, and Beans man, telling everybody to get ready.
We are.
I heard a man, Barry, from South Carolina, so he's doing well. And
he's healing.
We're praying for everybody down here in Houston and stuff. The Cajun Navy is going over there rescuing people and stuff like that.
Yeah, they sure are. People are starting to even shoot at the Cajun Navy.
Wow. Yeah, I heard about that too, and that's sad. But it's heading this way now, George, so please pray for us.
Yeah, I heard that. And do give us updates, would you, Cornelius?
Oh, yeah. But, L.A., you know me from a long time.
Absolutely, Cornelius. Good to hear your voice.
Yes, sir. On my birthday, George, I got L.A.'s package, so I was so happy.
But
on the rapture, L.A., I'm going to disagree with you. Glenn Beck has been helping people over there in the Middle East, and to me, they've been raptured out of their situation. I don't know where this rapture business came from, but Americans seem to believe in this rapture. Now, the Middle Eastern Christians, I don't know if they were ever taught that, but like I said, Glenn Beck saved $11,000 with about $17 million that we donated through the Nazarene Fund. That's why I say I don't believe in a rapture. We must occupy till Christ returns. The only two people I know that was raptured were Enoch and Elijah.
Right.
And they're going to be the two witnesses when the end times comes. I believe a great earthquake's coming to California, and you see all this devastation with these hurricanes and stuff. So it's coming down, and the nuclear wars. It's all coming down, but there's no rapture coming.
Okay. All right. Good. That's your opinion, Cornelius, and, of course, always welcome. L.A.?
Well, I mean, respectfully, I've known Cornelius for years. He wrote me, and we have a great rapport.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. But, again, respectfully, I would disagree. I think that Enoch and Elijah are types of the rapture. And, you know, how do we deal with, behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all die. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who remain will rise to meet the Lord in the air. What are we to do with a scripture like that? And what people get confused with is persecution versus the tribulation, which is the wrath of God. Two totally different deals, completely different subjects. One is the wrath of God, which and that's all, that, you know, no one wants to be around when that hits. But persecution has been going on for 2,000 years, and it will continue.
We get hundreds of thousands of reports of people missing off this planet every year. Hundreds of thousands of people. They're just gone, L.A. Could they be raptured?
No, that's a different deal. That's David Pilate's work, and I've read his books. I find it fascinating and also extremely, extremely troubling.
It is.
And this is a dirty little secret that no one wants to talk about. Certainly the national parks don't want to talk about, but you're right. Thousands and thousands of people go missing and are never heard of again. And reading Pilate's book, I mean, I read a lot of stuff in my day, but I got to tell you, I read that book in small doses.
Scary stuff.
It was so troubling to
me. First-time caller, Kip in White Cross, Georgia. Welcome to the show, Kip.
Hey, George, and yes, sir. I'm just pleasure to speak to y'all.
You too, Kip.
I'm a truck driver, and I know this may be a little bit off of what we're talking about, but I'm a devout and spirit-filled Christian, no doubt in my mind. And I tell you, you know, this is a great and fantastical time we're living in, and I've been dealing with some things myself, and I just kind of wanted to see what his view was on demonic possession and oppression concerning, like, drug addictions and what people, especially with the big opiate crisis today, because I know there's many and many Christians out there, believers, who are battling the same thing that I've been battling, and I just kind of wanted to see what his stance on that was.
Okay, all right. L.A., there's no question you are a believer in demonic possession.
I am, but here's the deal. Christians can be oppressed, and oppressed big time. For a Christian to become completely possessed by something, they would have to willfully give themselves over to that. And that can be done on some level. I've never heard of that being done. But we certainly, Christians can definitely be oppressed. And again, this goes back in the doors. If, let's say, this is a perfect example, because most guys, a lot of guys, have trouble with lust. You know, we all go through it. You know, and let's face it, let's be honest here. So lust is one thing that men fight, but women fight bitterness. Women will sometimes hold on to things that happened 20 years ago and not forgive. Both of those things end in destruction. Both of those things are doorways and can act as doorways to be demonically oppressed. In other words, the enemy has legal right because we're engaged, let's say, in pornography, or because we won't forgive, they have legal right. And they will use that legal right. And that's why we got to keep close accounts and walk circumspectly.
Let's go to Jack in California. Hey, Jack, go ahead. You're on with L.A. Marzulli.
Yeah, pretty interesting show.
Thank you, Jack.
I was just thinking that Christ may be on earth, and he's turned 37 years since he crossed the divide on September 23rd. And with a dragon, I know for sure Christ already took down the dragon and blew up all the stuff that was in front of the dragon so the dragon wouldn't be released. That's just a pretty far out there thing, but I mean, I was witness to that.
Now, what do you mean by that? What happened?
There's a dragon below the earth in an aquarium, and there's 40 black conical cones that are opening up in different geometrical shapes, and Christ blew up every single one of them about 20 seconds before the dragon was released, and that was in January 2002.
All right, and L.A., what's the significance of the dragon again?
Well, let's go back and see what the scripture tells us, but it basically gives... you know, the serpent, the devil, the dragon, Satan. It's named for the same character. This incredibly anointed cherub that covereth, that's who he was before he fell, before iniquity was found in him. And look, you know, George, again, this is really complex. I don't pretend to have all the answers.
No, I understand.
Yeah, no theologian does. But this entity that we call Hasatan or Satan, the devil dragon, very powerful, incredibly maniacal, but brilliant in some ways. And he somehow managed to get a third of the angels to follow him, which that in itself is incredible. And that just didn't happen in 24 hours. That took time. And so this is what sort of drives me nuts about this whole thing. We're given glimpses of what's going on, but we don't get the whole picture. We really don't. We don't get the whole picture.
Gordon in Lakeland, Florida. Hey, Gordon, go ahead.
Yes, George, and since you have an honorary doctorate, may I address you as Dr. Marzulli? It seems more natural. Anyhow, my question revolves around the thousand-year millennium reign, which is after the seven-year tribulation ends, but before the eternal heaven. Okay, people live in physical bodies. If a man lives to be 100 and he dies, they'll say, man, he was just a kid. The baby will play with the adder. There'll be babies, and he won't get bit in. And there'll be a rebellion at the end of Revelation 20, but you know there's free will. So my two questions about the millennium are, number one, I'm single, okay? And if I cannot find the right girl in this dispensation, okay, the second question is, what if a woman has a child that dies before the age of accountability? He has not exercised faith, and so he can't get into heaven legally. I'm thinking that the millennium is legally permissible for the children to have free will, to exercise free will, so... that these women that kill children to send them to heaven are not doing them a favor. God has gave the angels free will. He's one third of them, so he gives you and me free will. And I'm thinking that the babies that die before the age of accountability will get free will, because in saying that the babies would go to heaven forever is violating the doctrines of faith. It's called baby universalism. It's a form of universalism. So I'm thinking that this is legally permissible. And so the question about the babies and the question about me being single, looking for the right girl, not finding her in this dispensation. And also, many are walked a wide path, which implies less than 50% get to heaven. I wanted to agree with you, but give the proper scripture. And also, there's a scripture that says, no man knows the hour. I don't know the scripture, but it's actually, the Bible says that. Jesus said that. So it is anti-scriptural. You can maybe know the seasons, but you can't know the exact date. I'm going to stay on the line in case you have a question or want some want me to give you a bailout card. Those are some tough questions.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure he can help you on the finding the woman in the afterlife. But go ahead, L.A.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that one. the scripture you're talking about is no man knows the day or the hour. And that was Jesus saying that no man knows the day or the hour except the Father. And that's what we need to hold on to. And that's, you know, that's why I look at that, and we can know the season. I think we're in the season. Israel's back in its land. We're seeing the birth pangs happen. It's getting really precarious on so many different levels. So I agree. I concur that, you know, no man knows the day or the hour, but we're in the season where these things, surely somebody's got to give. It's got to come to some kind of a head here at some point. It just can't continue like this when you get events like Fukushima and the fuel rods are burning through the containment and no one knows where they are, and it's polluting half the Pacific Ocean. And, you know, I mean, I could go around the map and on and on and on. So it's, I mean, we've always had problems on the planet. I get that. The question is, earthquakes are increasing. Volcanic activity is increasing. I think there's more tension now than I've ever seen with the races. I mean, I can't believe what I'm saying. And I'm not only in America, but in other parts of the world too. So that would be the first thing. The second thing is, look, there's nothing more innocent than a child in the womb. And again, in my opinion, any child that would be aborted, would that spirit, that child, and I believe in conception, that life starts at the moment of conception.
Okay, some people believe much later.
Right. I believe it's the moment of conception when that DNA information is exchanged.
In goes the soul, huh?
Yeah, and that's what I think. So they're in the throne room. And, you know, we can disagree, that's fine, but that's where I think they wind up.
Ed in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Ed, take it away.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure
in
thing.
L.A., it's good to hear you on there. I really enjoy listening to you. I follow you on the Internet, on YouTube quite a bit. But just let me say this. Okay, first I was going to mention Nineveh, but I'm going to pass that. But I want to tell you, I live every day hoping and praying on my knees that the Lord will rapture me out of here today. Because, see, I know what's on the other side waiting for us, man. We're going to come back after the tribulation period when Jesus Christ sets up his millennial reign here on earth for 1,000 years. We're going to come back with him and live, you know, in our eternal bodies. And, man, why would anybody not want that? I mean, you know, the gift of salvation is a free gift. You have only to accept Christ as your Savior, man. I mean, everybody on the face of this God-given earth has that opportunity if they accept him. And that's all it takes.
Very well said.
If they choose not to do that, well then, hey, that's their choice.
That's it. I agree. It's their choice.
But, L.A., listen, it's good to hear you on here, man. I love following you on the YouTube and you and Stephen Quayle, and we lost Jim Mars just recently. But the work that you're doing on the Watcher series and stuff like that, I really enjoy listening to it.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Hey, let me ask you one real quick thing.
Sure.
Now, Dr. Roger Lear, mm-hmm. I found a YouTube clip on there. You were with him, and if this thing was accurate, you guys were removing implants. And this implant, he put it in a cup of blood, and it grew back together. And you had asked him what was the purpose of that, and he said it was to alter the DNA.
Well, that I've written about that, and that's what I think, and we've talked about that on Coast with George before, and real quick, because, you know, I know we're kind of running out of time, but the bottom line is this. I believe that these implants are precursors to what the book of Revelation, there's that book again, calls the Mark of the Beast. I think the Mark of the Beast is far more complex than an RFID chip. I think it's a DNA changer. I think you take the mark and it changes your DNA. And what happens after that is not a good thing.
L.A., just a few minutes left, and I don't think we're going to have enough time for calls. They keep flying in here, but I want definitely want you to stay in touch with us when your new works are ready. You know, you've got a home here on Coast to Coast.
I appreciate it.
So
that,
as September 23rd rolls around in about 3 weeks or so,
there you go.
Nothing to worry about? What do you think?
Again, I would wake up on the 24th and just go, well, that was interesting, now what? And that's why I hold on to it loosely. You keep our eyes open, but let's hold on to it loosely.
Do you expect anything to happen on that day?
No.
Okay. Just a normal day. Whatever happens, happens.
That's what I think.
I mean, for example, I would get a call once in a while from earthquake experts who predict earthquakes. And I said, this planet has an earthquake every day.
Absolutely.
Every day.
Sure, so it does.
I mean, so it's easy to predict an earthquake,
yeah,
when you have one every day. All right, L.A., thanks again. And again, give out your website. And how did they get your new Watcher series?
It's called TheWatchmanChronicles.com, TheWatchmanChronicles.com, or go to LAMarzulli.net, LAMarzulli.net, and all sorts of goodies there.
All right, my friend, take care of yourself, and talk to you soon. See you at a conference, wherever you may be, all right?
All right, George, thanks so much. Take care.
L.A. Marzulli. Up next, we're going to be talking about the story of Jack the Ripper. It's 129 years old, and yet there's still a fascination with that story of somebody roaming the streets of London 129 years ago, killing at least five people. Who was that person? Well, up next, we'll be talking with an expert who thinks he knows who Jack the Ripper might have been. We've got that story, and then we'll take phone calls with you and with the guest in our final hour right here on Coast to Coast AM.